Turn to the book of Psalms, reading our text in Psalm 66, from verse 10. Psalm 66, from the 10th verse. For thou, O God, hast proved us, thou hast tried us, as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net, upon our loins thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. This concise and entirely comprehensive scripture that we have now read to base our meditation upon, concerning the Lord proving and trying his beloved people, is one of the monumental scriptures of the Book of God. A very wonderful part of it is that we see here the sacred divine issue accomplished by his Spirit and grace in the cases of all those who fear God, who are his beloved people. For you will notice how this is framed by the Spirit. But thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. That spells out a foretaste of heaven and eventually glory itself. Considering then that this is a body of divinity, the Lord give us grace and wisdom to expound it to his glory and for your profit and peace and good. In the Word of God there is considerable emphasis placed on proving. You will notice in the epistles to Timothy concerning those in the holy offices of Zion, we have this word: let them first be proved. And an exhortation is spoken to us: prove all things. How necessary it is for this proving process to take place. And I feel that I venture this evening to name to you the foundation of all that is beneath this subject, namely our beloved Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, God's dear Son incarnate. We have this amazing word concerning him: for the Lord hath laid in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone. Listen, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And he that believeth shall not make haste. divine justice, the holy law of God, scrutinized every thought, every word, every action of the man Christ Jesus, tried stone. He was buffeted, Satan bruised him. Oh, the agony of the Savior. But what a wonderful foundation, a tried stone. He rests in his love. He rejoices over thee with singing. A tried stone. And there are two aspects, surely, of this. One is, by holy faith, all his tried people know the security and support and stability of resting firmly upon this precious tried stone. The other aspect is this, one of communion and fellowship with him in his sufferings. So by his gracious enabling, let us hope to open a little this blessed testimony of the psalmists concerning this indispensable process, divine, that is accomplished in the lives and souls of all the people of God whilst here below. And we may say, taking up this body of divinity, that here we have the deepest and the sweetest spiritual experience of a man of God, and there is no substitute for spiritual experience. If I may reverently use a simile, today with the main roads, whenever you come to a center of population, there's a bypass. And where necessary, in congested areas, an overpass or an underpass. There's no such thing in vital religion. There's no bypass. For I will bring the third part through the fire, through the fire. There's no bypass, my friends. There's no easy way to the kingdom. There's no underpass or overpass. It's through. Take that word, the sweet promise, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. You see, with God's people it is through. And the psalmist describes this here, the spiritual experience, what he went through for the Lord to refine him and purify him and purge him and prove him, and then eventually to bring him out, that is, into the full liberty of the gospel, out into a wealthy place. And it is not exactly my province in Galilee Chapel, but just at this initial stage, I would like to draw your attention to the terminal part of the psalm with the enriching of grace and the knowledge of God, there was a testimony to give. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, he says, and I will declare. I have something to declare. I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Now, does that come home into the hearts of any in this congregation tonight? Oh, what shall be the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord to give this testimony to his everlasting praise? So that is a blessed issue. And some of you may watch these things with others in deep prayerful exercise. Well now, let us view the body of the subject that is before us. He looks up to the Lord in gratitude, in adoration, in worship, in praise, and says to the Lord, "For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried." And then he goes on to enumerate and set out in order the divine method used by God to prove him and to try him. But first, the gratitude, the adoration of his spirit to the Lord for proving him and trying him, refining him, fitting him for heaven, making him ready for that bright abode. And dear friends, there are two terms used here. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou hast proved us first, and then thou hast tried us. And the Lord proves his people. I was thinking of that outstanding and classical case of Abraham. The Lord proved him. After the little son was born, the son of promise, we don't know how long it was, but he spoke to his servant Abraham. He said, "Take now thy son, thine only son whom thou lovest, get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him up for a burnt offering upon the mountain that I will tell thee of." What a proving. So precious was the dear son to him, but the Lord proved him. And Abraham obeyed by faith and took the little lad and the fire, and the wood, the knife, took all that he needed, and set out on this tragic journey. He proved him. The Lord knows how to prove us. I remember, if I may just make some personal reference, I would not weary you, but it is so fitting, and it is a personal tribute to the Lord and his goodness, and also congruous with this word, "For thou, O God, hast proved us." When it came to my probationary time at the Dicker, although fully convinced that it was of God, I prayed for a token to God. I quite expect that is how the dear ones here at Khalid are praying, and his servant, a token for God. And the token for good came, but it came, and it often comes, in a totally unexpected way. For, as I commence those Lord's days, as we have at the communion concerning the cup, the Lord's cup, it seemed as though before me stood the Lord with a cup and a potion in that cup for me to drink, or us to drink. And by the second Lord's Day, it was much nearer, and soon the severe illness developed in our oldest son. And at once I thought, yes, this is it. And just to be very brief, the terrible infection spread. The condition was exacerbated until there was no hope. There was really no hope at all. And this was a Saturday. And I thought, impossible for me to go in the pulpit on Sunday. Whatever can I preach? But this is how the Lord, in one thing, proved me, tested me. On that Saturday afternoon, suddenly there seemed to be the melody and the music of heaven in my soul. It seemed as though I saw that blood-washed multitude around his throne. And amongst them, thousands of children. And the Lord gave me such a persuasion that the lad would be one of them. And instantly I gave him to Christ. Now he proved me. I didn't withhold him. I was willing for the Lord to take him or spare him. Do you see? Has the Lord been proving you in any way? Have you yielded what most you have prized to the Lord? It's a wonderful, wonderful truth to be proved of God and to be enabled to yield everything to him. Well, I went into the pulpit on the Lord's Day, and I seemed to be up in the heavens. I hardly knew anything about the earth or what I said. The Lord just carried me through. But he proved me. I was completely willing for the dear lad to be taken. And in fact, I felt I could have buried him. Has the dear Lord been proving you in some affliction or trial? On Monday evening, if anyone had said to me, what about that dear little boy? I would have said, well, he's in the Lord's hands. He's not in my hands. I've given him up completely. But on Monday night, although that was the crisis night, I read this. I shall not die, but live. And declare the works of the Lord. And the Lord put him back into my hands, and he said, I've proved you. You've not withheld the dearest from me. I've proved you. And the Lord knows how to prove you. And then, you see, it's like the flower that opens. As that flower opened, then he said, and this is the token for good that you prayed for. Binding pastor and people together in a most wonderful way. Now, as the Lord proved you, tested you, and you found the reality of your faith and of your love and of your people, wonderful thing it is to be proved, and to prove that you have the life of God in your soul and the life of faith upon the Son of God, and to prove that you've got a good foundation, a blessed rock, to prove that you have a dear friend, a heavenly friend, a heavenly Father, and a holy bridegroom, and to prove what he has given you. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Wonderful blessing to be proved. You take, I do not want this to be desultory, but you take, for instance, church members, where you believe they are brought in under the influence of the Spirit, and they are a strength and comfort to the pastor and the deacons all through their days, and they stand in their lot. They're loyal and faithful to the end. See, it's proved. Their love to the Lord, their love to that people, their love to that ministry is proved. So, are you able to say, Thou, O God, hast proved us? Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. And so this part of the subject relates, as you well know, beloved friends, to refining. The Lord taking his dear people and putting them in the furnace. Maybe the furnace, and often is the furnace of affliction. And what a furnace it is. And let me name to you one or two relevant truths. These two terms, Thou, O God, hast proved us, thou hast tried us as silver is tried, is accomplished partly under the ministry of the Spirit. A good, gracious, living, powerful, unctuous ministry will prove the hearers. I'm sure Mr. Popham's did, and Mr. Gosden's. And it also tried the hearers as silver. The ministry subjected them to trial, to test. And what is it that produces this? Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. What makes this the process of refining? The solemn presence of the Lord in it. His presence in the ministry. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. Has he done that for you in the ministry of your late dear pastor? You've been tried as silver is tried. But it's the Lord's presence in it that makes it this. And so he gives the detail concerning it. And I read about good Job. Just now, the time came when he was proved and tried. A man of great prosperity, the richest man of the East, a large family, tremendous substance, and he came into all that adversity. And that proved him and tried him. The Lord was in it. And when he came into the first part of the proving, you see, Satan had made an accusation. He said, doth Job fear God for naught? No wonder he fears God. Look how God prospers him. But stretch forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath. He will curse thee to thy face. But he was proved. He lost nearly all. And what did he say? Then Job arose, shaved his head, rent his mantle, fell upon the ground and worshipped and said, he worshipped, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. Listen, here's the proving. Satan said he will curse God. This is the proving. He said, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It was proved. He was proved. And I read just now, as you well know, when he saw a little light in his dark pathway, couldn't find the Lord, that presently he said, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, as though he would say, I'm willing to be tried. I want to be tried now. That is to say, the Lord, prove me, try me now. Let it not be agony in the last few hours of my life. Let it be peace. Try me and prove me now. And you know so well that he was able to say, now when he hath tried me, I shall come forth. Not consumed, I shall come forth as gold. This is it. Let us just remind the friends too that this is a part of the Spirit's teaching in the holy ordinance of prayer. The Lord lays upon the hearts of his people at certain seasons especially to pray thus, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. Did you ever pray that? Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The objective is, lead me in the way everlasting. But why did he pray like that? Because he wanted to be made right for heaven and ready for heaven. Because he wished to receive the infallible evidence of sonship, and also that his dross should be consumed. So, are you able to say this? For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidst affliction upon our loins. First the net. Thou broughtest us into the net. The net is the net of divine providence. And the net is a symbol. It suggests the great element of surprise. Complete surprise. It's like the fishes swimming along. And suddenly they find themselves enmeshed by this net. They're in the net. What a surprise. What an element of astonishment. They're in the net. It's God's net. Thou broughtest us into the net. And this is not because you have gone off at a tangent into something that is God dishonoring. You have not gone into something that is God displeasing. It is in the very path of God's own choosing. But thou broughtest us into the net. And there you are, suddenly you find yourself in the net. It's a wonderful thing when you come into the net, if you find that the Lord is with you, and also you are made passive in his blessed hands. Thou broughtest us into the net. I remember one occasion when it was like this, and the Lord stood by my bed when I was racked with pain, and he said, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, for thou broughtest us into the net." Are any of you in the net? You feel the Lord has brought you into the net? Are any dear to you? And then, "Thou laidst affliction upon our loins." Loins stands in Scripture, it is a simile, for the very center and source of physical strength, where all your strength lies. "And thou laidst affliction upon our loins." And you'll say, you'll feel before God, all flesh is grass. And you'll feel how frail you are when he lays affliction upon your loins. And the Lord does it. But if we could stay here, I wonder what your various testimonies would be. "Thou laidst affliction upon our loins." Take these sweet graces. How wonderful it is to have the spirit of submission, to fall into the hand of the Lord, and to be saved from rebellion. "Thou laidst affliction upon our loins." And the Lord knows how to prepare you for this, and also to give you a promise of your deliverance. "Thou laidst affliction upon our loins." Thou hast caused men to ride over our head. Let me just stop to ask you, this affliction laid upon your loins, have you received the blessing of God in your soul yet? Has the Lord appeared? Has he shone into your heart yet? Has he visited you yet? Oh, you may say, "I feel so tried and hard and deathly and distressed in my mind. I cannot find him as I long to." One day she said, "I found him whom my soul loveth. I found him. And I would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house, into the chamber of her that conceived me." The Lord doesn't let his dear people go into affliction alone. I believe that so frequently he gives them a promise. He may stand by your side and say, "For the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace." He may give you this that I remember from my childhood, to see the face of a dear one with many tears streaming down her cheek. And her friend wondered why it was. "Oh," she said, I'm not crying for distress. I'm crying for joy." We were in the middle of affliction just then. She said, "The Lord has just spoken this to me. He shall deliver thee in six troubles. Yea, in seven there shall no evil touch." Now that will break your heart. "For thou, O God, hast proved us, thou hast tried us as silver is tried, thou broughtest us into the net." thou laidst affliction upon our loins. Then listen to this. It is all in this same gamut of divine truth. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. What a word. Did your Saviour know this? Was he despised and rejected of men? A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, will you anticipate escaping this? No. There's a little fellowship with him in this. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. Take the case of Joseph. When his brethren had heard his dreams, they hated him. And as you know, their enmity knew no bounds. They had it in their heart, most of them, not all of them, to slay him. And when they had the opportunity, as they thought, they said, "Behold, this dreamer cometh, let us slay him, and see, we will see what will become of his dreams, we will slay him." Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. It's a painful path to be despised, to have a thorn in your side, for men to ride over our heads, to have those who are enemies to you, those who treat you basely. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. But my friends, when you view the Saviour, you'll feel submission even to this. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. Thou, we went through fire and through water. The two elements are yours, fire and water. Fire, there are these particular characteristics. First, fire. Consuming. The feeling is that you'll be consumed. Then water. And there the element is overwhelming. Now sometimes you'll be in a trial that is fiery. And you can feel this fire in your very heart and bones. And it seems as though everything precious will be consumed. And you wonder where the scene will end. Fiery trial. And then you may come into this water where it's overwhelming. The things you meet with seem as if they overwhelm your spirit. As though, just as the disciples were, as though you're going to sink. You're going down. You cannot go on. In this storm, in this water, it may seem as if you'll go to the bottom. But presently, you'll be absolutely overwhelmed. Now look. The Lord tells you what he will do. We went through fire and water. Through it. Purged, refined. The Lord sanctifying these things to us. Through it. And the Lord brought them out, brought him out, brought us out into a wealthy place. He turned the captivity of Job. He turned the captivity of Joseph. Day came when dear Joseph, in such love, kissed all his brethren. What an experience for him and for them. Broughtest us out into a wealthy place. That means enriched with grace. And living in the land of Beulah, in that delectable land, with foretastes of heaven, you have the songs of degrees. You have those wonderful songs of praises. You take, for instance, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Now, thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. Amen.